super wild card? Was it super wild card weekend? Is that what we called it? Ugh. Hey, listen, I love football. If there's football games on, I'm into it. I like why. Even blowouts, you can still appreciate the games. But, man, there's differences sometimes between blowouts and ugly games. That game last night was, I guess, kind of the way to cap this whole thing off, wasn't it? With the Los Angeles Rams just absolutely working Arizona. 34-11. Kyler Murray, like, it looked like he forgot how to football. Like, how do you football, Kyler? And again, that offensive line was absolutely annihilated. And so there wasn't a lot he could do. He was sacked twice. He threw two picks. He completed 19 of 34. I mean, it was just a rough outing. Meanwhile, on the other end, you have the Rams. And did it break your heart a little bit to see Von Miller tear it up like that? Six tackles, three for loss, one sack, quarterback hit. It's kind of like those are old. They're taking me back to 2015 when he was. I mean, if you think about it, Von started the tempo. I mean, he got that sack early on in the game, which I think kind of had the Cardinals' offensive line shaking a little bit. Not quite sure how to handle him, how to handle this entire D-line. Rams look good. I'm going to get into the divisional matchups coming up. Divisional round matchups, boy. I was talking to somebody this morning, said, hey, blowouts suck, I get it, but man, it's set up one hell of a weekend coming up. Oh, yeah. The matchups are going to be a blast. I mean, you look at all of these great matchups, man. I mean, the Rams and Buccaneers, like, that's going to be big. That's going to be a huge matchup. Niners and Packers, it's hard for me to, I don't know. I feel like the Packers are 6-point favorites in that game early on. I think they run with that spread. But Bills Chiefs, which just so happens to be my game of the week, by the way. Bills and Chiefs. Oh, wow. Twice in 1 week? Look at that. It's like we're a well-functioning, well-oiled machine here at the whole show. Bills, Chiefs, that's going to be phenomenal. Buccaneers, Rams. Like, Sunday's going to be the day. Sunday's the day. You get your favorite beverage from On the Rocks Liquor. You sit down, and you have it. You have an absolute blast of a time. And the other games, like Bengals Titans, is anybody excited about that? Like, those are two, they've mid-market teams. I'm not that, like, Derrick Henry, okay, he's coming, he's moving the needle for me. 49ers Packers, I'm just, you know, Rodgers. Saturday's an okay day, Sunday's the day. Sunday's going to be the day. But how'd you rate this opening round? I mean, the first game was a good game. Las Vegas and Cincinnati. That was fun. And, of course, drama and controversy. Anytime you can get that. Triples, right? New England Buffalo, absolute garbage heap of a game put on by the Pats. I think the Pats might be all right in the future. That was just a game Buffalo absolutely won, especially after they lost to the Pats earlier in the year. Tampa Bay, Philly, another blowout. Philly made it okay. Kind of interesting late, but I don't think anybody, unless you were a bettor, unless you bet on like a mid-game spread of something, I don't think anybody was nervous about Tampa Bay losing that game. San Francisco, Dallas, 23-17 tells a different story than what it was, right? It was a blowout. San Francisco was running the table in this entire game. The problem was with San Fran is they're settling for field goals. And you could be smoking a team through 3.5 quarters, and it feels like you're smoking a team. But if you settle for field goals instead of touchdowns, that's how teams creep up on you. And that's what Dallas did. And then we got some controversy out of that. Kansas City and Pittsburgh, nobody wanted to see that game except for Kansas City fans. Like, if you're a Chiefs fan, then that felt good. Like, that's an easy win for you. Move right along. And then last night was the worst game of the bunch, wasn't it? It was close. New England and Buffalo. But Buffalo was so perfect in that game that it almost made up for being a snooze fest. I mean, they were perfect. So perfect that you're looking at Buffalo and you got to be, if you're are you betting on the Bills to beat the Chiefs in Kansas City this weekend? Wouldn't that be something? And now you got people talking about Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator for the Bills. Should the Broncos be interviewing him for the head coaching job? I mean, when he's been all right this year, but when you get a game like you saw against the Pats, do you look at it and say, that was such a well-crafted football game that somebody's getting a job from that? Or do you look at it and say, it's freezing cold, man. One team is like, I'm ready to go home and get in my onesie, sit beside the fire. I don't know. Is that just me? Like, I look at cold weather games. I have a massive respect for the Bills for having a perfect game in that. But how many guys come out and are just like, I'm not. If you're Buffalo's used to this. Those guys are used to it. I know the Pats have cold weather games too. But man, Buffalo, they get some cold football games. Plus, it's Josh Allen. Josh Allen was playing in the snow in Wyoming. Mac Jones, how much snow are they getting in Alabama these days? So, I'm not saying the weather was the biggest thing. But if you can play cold weather games late in the season, yeah, good games, and you're used to, like Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, you know why Aaron Rodgers is one of the greatest quarterbacks ever? For several reasons. But he finds ways to win a lot of playoff games. No, he's only got the one Super Bowl. But he goes deep into the playoffs. He's getting to the playoffs all the time because he's playing at his best. And when everybody else is cold in some of those cold weather games, frozen tundra, that kind of stuff doesn't bother him. So I'm not really like slamming down the door saying, hey, why aren't we on the phone with the Bills offensive coordinator? Not yet, anyway. I mean, let's see. If they put on a perfect performance like they did against the Patriots, against the Chiefs, but are you waiting that long? I don't know if the Broncos are waiting that long. They're interviewing today, folks. Dan Quinn and Kellen Moore are interviewing with the Broncos today, with George Payton today. Tomorrow is Gerard Mayo. See, that's how much we know about this guy. He's a linebackers coach for the Patriots. Gerard Mayo, I've screwed that up a couple of times. Not to say he won't be an up-and-coming guy. That might be one of those interviews that's like, hey, we like you. We're going to think about you as we're building our staff here. Thursday is going to be Kevin O'Connell, Brian Callahan. Friday is going to be Eric Bieniemy. So to my knowledge, that's just this week. George Payton is interviewing a lot of candidates. Does it seem like Dan Quinn's the front runner? I mean, you had Nathaniel Hackett. You had that situation. How did that go last week? Again, we're going to try to get Zach Stevens on. I did flip the script a little bit on you, Michael. Trying to get Zach Stevens on at 1:45 today. It's the only time he can do it. So we're having our pre show meeting right now about what we're going to be doing later. But looking at these games, do they move, like the Bills coordinator? Does that move the needle for you? Seeing what we saw against San Francisco for the Cowboys, are you jumping up and down hoping that Kellen Moore is the next head coach based on what we just saw? Dan Quinn as well? I don't know. I want to get into the coaching search and all that. But the playoff weekend that was, how would you rate it? How would you grade it? The super wild card weekend. It wasn't really super other than, okay, you had bonus night. The NFL is king of marketing, isn't it? They can turn anything. Hey, we're just adding an extra game because we added two extra teams. Therefore, we can't squeeze all these games in. So we'll just do two on Saturday, three on Sunday. We could put a game on Monday night. And we'll call it Super Wild Card Weekend because it goes into the week. It's playoff football. I want to see something. I want to see some epic games. Like the Dallas game had potential to get there late, but throughout the entire game, it was a snooze fest. I mean, what was the grade? We given it a C because it was football? Or do we go even... Like, I don't like watching blowouts unless it's my team. If the Broncos were in the playoffs this weekend and it was them blowing out the Patriots, hell yeah, it was a glorious weekend. It was a wonderful weekend. But last night's game, boy. How about this, Michael? How about Von Miller, though? Getting a chance to see Von. It was cool to see it. Like, it felt natural just watching and rooting for Von Miller, but it also, it's like watching your ex thrive in a new relationship.
Second and eight. Weddle's in there. We'll keep an eye on him. Here's Kyler taken down at the 17. There's Von Miller with the sack.
Yeah, we've seen that. We're not strangers to that, right? I mean, Von was solid in that. And not just the sack, but he had a play. I think they just threw a little running back pass out to the flats and trying to get something. And Von closed in on it so quickly, it was a tackle for loss. I mean, that's a lot of our naysayers on this show that have knocked Von Miller over the years. You just look at the sacks every year. Like, you're a stat guy. You're like Dixon, our arch nemesis of the show. You're obsessed with stats. Like, you should be that guy from Moneyball. That dude, the stat guy, that guy that's helping Billy Bean, that's you. Those that are obsessed with just the number. Von Miller's impact was, as we know as Broncos fans, was felt all over the field. And even if he didn't get the play, he was doubled a lot of times. So it was sad. It was a tough deal. But good for Von. We know the situation. We knew what it was going into it. Just didn't seem to fit anymore for whatever reason. It does look like Von has got some new life. Had an injury, missed a couple of games with the Rams, so he's probably pretty damn fresh. Yeah, good for him. Kyler Murray, on the other hand, I love that player. You know, I love watching a running style quarterback. It just looked like he was indecisive. He'd take off to run, and the lane is there, and then he'd go, there's a guy downfield. Oh, overthrow. He just could not make... That defensive line had him rattled so much. Kyler Murray certainly struggled last night in this one.
Rams pressure is picked up. Did he get rid of it? It's intercepted. It's David Long into the end zone for the touchdown.
Yeah, it was a tough go. All right, so there's this discussion today that I want to get into, because as we're talking about a head coach, as we're talking about the future of the Denver Broncos organization, it has me thinking. The Method Flow Products poll question of the day. What's more important to it? NFL team. I said what's more important to a football team. What's the most important position in football? Head coach or quarterback? Now, it's obvious a lot of you guys just jump right to quarterback. Well, Tom Brady and all that, but look what Belichick just did. Now, I know Mac Jones got smoked and he's out, but he's a rookie quarterback, and the Pats are right back in. I thought after the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl last year and the Patriots missed the playoffs, I thought, oh, hands down, Tom Brady won this little battle. It was Tom Brady all along. Then they draft Mac Jones, who was probably the least advertised first rounder. And suddenly, this team starts rolling again and starts looking good defensively, offensively. They've got weapons. They don't have necessarily superstars spread out all over the field, but they have a competent quarterback. So now you're looking at, if you're a Patriots fan, I mean, you're bummed that you got worked by a rival. But you're also looking at it going, okay, we thought life without Tom Brady was going to be terrible. Maybe not so much. So I ask you, what's more important? Like, because again, you could say quarterback. Well, if it's quarterback, then you're George Payton. You've already got that quarterback in mind. If it's coach, which George Payton says he's going to get the coach first and then the quarterback, which if you want to go in order of how you're doing things, it's the coach. What is more important? What position is more important when it comes to football? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. That's the Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Shout out to Weldworks Friday. It's not that far away. I know it's Tuesday, but it goes by fast. Friday, they do new beer releases every single Friday at noon. So, you know, you take off a little earlier on Friday, bust hump all week, make it a great week, and then celebrate at our friends Weldworks. You got a new announcement coming up in the next couple of weeks that we'll be talking about, too. 21 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, the Nuggets are going back at it tomorrow night against the Clippers. Can they sustain this thing? And should Joker get, I'm telling you, realistic consideration for MVP? I think it's too soon for us to get our hopes up. But is the record ultimately going to be the deciding factor? If the Nuggets were 10 games better, would it be obvious? Let's talk about that next. 21 minutes after the hour. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Afternoon Guy, Brian Gary, weekdays at 3 p.m. on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Miranda Simpson is local. That's a big thing when you're looking for your insurance agent. She's a local operator at State Farm Insurance. She works the Fort Collins area, Northern Colorado area. She's also a Colorado State University grad, and she's very active in the with CSU and the Ram Club. She's a member of CSU Ram Club. So Rams fans, I got a lot of Rams fans that listen to this show. Got a lot of Rams fans that listen to the David Roddy Show coming up tomorrow. And if you're a fan of what we do here, go support Miranda Simpson because she's a fan of you. She's a fan of all things Colorado State and wanting to help the program grow. Call Miranda Simpson at State Farm at 970-223-7800. All right, this poll question is getting kind of lopsided. Most of you just think it's the quarterback most important. So I might change it up. I might go with a Garoppolo poll question. I'll look at it in a moment. We'll get to it. Holyoke. Is it possible that Joker's efficiency is detrimental to his MVP case? If he was a volume shooter, would he get more looks? How premeditated is this race? Let's be real. Joker truly got it last year because of the other candidates' health issues. I agree with you on that because it's so easy to just throw Kevin Durant out there. And if Klay Thompson was playing for Golden State, then Steph Curry would have been the MVP. Because Golden State would have been a top three, top five seed, and it would have been easier to go there. The NBA, for whatever reason, just has a real hard time giving Nikola Jokic his credit. I do feel like, though, and I was it the Lakers game on Saturday that was on, was it on ESPN or something? But it was Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, right? And he was like, the whole broadcast was going off on how there's nothing this guy can't do and how he's the clear-cut MVP. He's the guy at this stage. So I felt like there was a little bit of a turn that day. I think we had, Harrison Wind on the program from DNVR Nuggets talking about, you know, hey, when you beat the Lakers, even if the Lakers are mediocre right now, same record as the Nuggets pretty much, if you beat the Lakers on prime time, you're going to start getting people pay attention to what you're doing. Even if we all know as Nuggets fans, but you're right, Holyoke. I mean, I do feel like Joker has to do more than the typical player, the typical MVP player. So you're saying efficiency is detrimental to his MVP case. I'm saying record. I do. I think that's what's going to. Last year, you remember Rachel Nichols and everybody was saying, oh, well, he doesn't play defense. Well, he did play defense last year. You just weren't watching the games closely enough. He's better than last year. Jerry Schimmel was on yesterday. He said he's better at everything than his MVP year. So I do think that at this stage, it's going to be the record. I mean, look at the numbers. Look at the numbers this guy's putting together on a nightly basis. I mean, triple-doubles, I think we need to discuss triple-doubles. Triple-doubles are a hard thing to get. And I know Westbrook was good at getting them, and I know Harden was good at getting them. That, you know, and I know Westbrook kind of gets a bad rap sometimes, even Harden sometimes, but those are two truly great basketball players that have been great for a long time, and Westbrook's having a weird year. Decent game last night, finally. But those are hard to get. You do have to be a pretty damn rare type of basketball player. He's averaging over 25 points per game. He's averaging 14 rebounds per game, 7 1.5 assists per game. Over one steal a game and over almost a block a game, just to throw those in. He turns it over, what, three times a game? Well, he has the ball in his hands all the time. Very efficient. That is going to be a key contributor, sure. But I look at the records and I think they're going to hold it against Denver. They're going to hold it against Nikola Jokic if they're not better. I mean, they've got to be up there in that fourth rate. Now, they're not that far behind Utah. I got so damn bored last night with Arizona and Los Angeles that I went over to NBA TV and I watched the Lakers-Utah Jazz game from start to finish. It's a weird game. Utah did not look like Utah. And the Lakers found a way to win. And Russell Westbrook kind of came out of his slump a little bit. LeBron James, very patient ball player still. Love him or hate him, he's a very patient guy. But can the Nuggets catch Utah? I mean, Memphis, Golden State, and Phoenix are running away with this thing. Phoenix is absolutely just taken off, man. They haven't even lost double digits yet. So, no, I don't see it being realistic that Denver cracks that top two code at all. But Memphis, you're, what, five games behind them? Six games behind them? Five games behind Utah? Or six games behind Utah, seven games behind Memphis, excuse me. So I look at it and say as long as the Joker keeps his numbers where they are right now, if Denver can move up two more spots, maybe increase your number a little bit more, then maybe you only have to move up one spot. But that's kind of where I'm going with it, you know, because again, Curry's going to get a lot of those looks, and rightfully so, like I said last year. Curry needs a better record. Otherwise, it should be Joker hands down. Now, CBS did an interesting story. Was it last night? No, it was this morning. Okay. Well, okay. I was up early. I was up at like 4 this morning. Fire alarm went off. The needed batteries. Nothing serious. Gotta love that. CBS Sports put out a story from Colin Ward Henniger. The 2021-22 NBA Midseason Awards experts favor Nikola Jokic in crowded MVP race. At this stage. So when you look at the MVP race at this point, a lot of the CBS voters, at least, Steph Curry's in that mix. Giannis is in that mix. DeMar DeRozan's in that mix. Kind of a shocker. Shocker to start the season. He's been doing amazing things. And then it's Joker. So I'm looking at their panel here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's CBS Sports. Of the nine, 1, 2, 3. Three of them are voting Nikola Jokic. Steph Curry's getting two of the votes. DeMar DeRozan's getting one vote. Giannis is getting two of the votes. So if you want to go by that, by CBS, one major sports network, sports outlet, Joker is the MVP at this stage. So maybe he can buck the trend of, hey, the record doesn't matter as much. But I still want to hold to what I was saying last year, right? Is I still think you got to be a top four, maybe top five team in your conference. Right now, it's probably between Giannis and Nikola with Steph Curry in that mix, Kevin Durant in that mix. DeMar DeRozan, I think, has been the shock. DeMar DeRozan's a great player, but I don't know that anybody's had him predicted to finish in the top five in the MVP standings, if that's the case. Steph Curry's stock has fallen a little bit, but you know that's going to pick back up. The guy, all he has to do is sneeze and people want to vote for him to be in. Ja Morant's in the mix. Chris Paul's in the mix. LeBron's always in the mix. And he actually, like, if you want to go top 10, probably Rudy Gobert. But I would imagine right now it's between Giannis and Nikola. Kevin Durant's close, Joel Embiid's close, but it's one of those two guys. And when you look at the guys I just mentioned, well, the Bulls are the number one seed right now. Brooklyn's top three. Joel Embiid's stock's down because, look, they're in sixth. Milwaukee's fifth. right now. So your two leading contenders are fifth and sixth. So maybe it doesn't mean as much. 35 minutes after the hour, I got a poll question for you guys. I'm switching gears on you. Would you like to see Jimmy Garoppolo as the next quarterback for the Denver Broncos? That's the Method Flow Products poll question of the day. 35 minutes after the hour, let's take a short break. When we come back, let's talk about it. Would Garoppolo be a quick fix? Get him and a Dan Quinn over here, and away you go, and you're competitive again. Garoppolo did make it to the divisional round. All the pressure's on him. Some would say he's handling it beautifully because that could have been his last game for San Francisco. However, San Francisco had a couple of opportunities to put that game away against Dallas, and he did throw a very terrible pick. He did that against the Rams earlier in the season. So let's talk about it coming up. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. Want to thank another sponsor that makes this program happen every single day. If you like the whole show, if you like any of the programs that you hear on KFKA, then support the sponsors that we talk about every single day. Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies has been with us for a while now, and we just appreciate it, man. So I'm going to Rev Chiropractic. I'm getting regular chiropractic care now. But I busted up my shoulder a few years ago, an old football injury. I don't know what it was. But I couldn't lift my shoulder up. And that's a non-starter for me, folks, because I have a four-year-old who was at the time two, and now he's more rambunctious. So I can't even imagine moving my arm around, picking that kid up. So I had to get it fixed. I go to OCR, and no surgery or anything like that. I did sit down with some specialists, though, that were giving me some, like, therapy that I was doing for my shoulder. And I did that hardcore for a couple of months, and bam, I've never had that issue again. That's Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. They partner with the Eagles and Colorado State. They cover club sports, high schools. They get it, man. They absolutely do. They have a 50-year-long relationship with Colorado State as well. That's Orthopedic and Spine Center. Their website, orthohealth.com. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show. Powered by PDC Energy. Method Flow Products poll question is up. Let's switch gears here. Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to be a San Francisco 49er next year. Should he be a Denver Bronco? Would you be okay with Jimmy Garoppolo as the next starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos? Go vote at thewholeshow.com and tell us what you think. Now, I mean, beating the Cowboys in Dallas like that, like we said, playoffs can earn jobs, man. Playoffs can certainly earn jobs. We're talking about the Bills offensive coordinator. It can earn jobs. It can lose jobs as well. Is it going to be a situation where it earns Jimmy Garoppolo, who was middle of the road for the most part? Since he got traded to San Francisco, he's kind of been that guy. Now, of course, you got the Super Bowl in there, to going to the Super Bowl and all that. Is that something, though, where you look at it and say, this guy was, I mean, he could do it. He could have the ability to take you there. Or is he just kind of another Case Keenum, but 2.0? I mean, that year, the year in 2019, just in the playoffs, he was careful, you know? He didn't do too much. He wasn't good, though. He was 37 to 58, 63% completion percentage, 427 yards, two touchdowns, three picks. You know, it was one of those things where you're not looking at it going, Jimmy did this. Jimmy led this team. I would like to see your thoughts on this because, listen, you're not getting Aaron Rodgers. Russell Wilson, I mean, I think he goes back and forth on this side of it. So, I mean, I'm going to say no. I don't want to go that route. I think if you're going to go that route, you might as well just stay with Drew Locke. Seriously, I know that bums a lot of people out. But aren't we getting tired of the same old, where we just bring in the Joe Flaccos and the Case Keenums. And I'm not saying Jimmy Garoppolo is necessarily those guys. He's better than those guys were. Joe Flacco was at the end of his career when he came to Denver. Case Keenum gave us too small of a sample size. So I do look at it. It is a little bit different than that, but it'd be like, like I said, Case Keenum 2.0. Jimmy Garoppolo, somebody you would like to see as the Denver Broncos' next quarterback. Eastside Chris Brady, mama definitely wants Jimmy G to play here, and she doesn't watch much football. Well, yeah, he's so dreamy. But we don't need a model. We don't need Fabio. I don't care if they look like Terry Bradshaw. We need to win games. We need to get into the playoffs. Which kind of goes back to the original Method Flow product poll question. What's the most important position in football, head coach or quarterback? Could you bring a Jimmy Garoppolo over here and get a leader like Dan Quinn with a good mind, an offensive coordinator? I mean, he hired Kyle Shanahan in Atlanta. Now, they already had an established quarterback, but Shanahan created that offense around him. Could you bring Garoppolo over here and have a Dan Quinn type coaching staff get the best out of him? I mean, say what you will about him. He's in the second round of the playoffs. Now, I was never sold on Garoppolo. When the Patriots traded him and the Niners gave up so much to get him, I was never nuts about that option. Now, through his career, you know, he started with the San Francisco 49ers in 17 after spending 3 years for the most part behind Tom Brady on the bench. He hasn't been bad. I mean, if you want to look at his rating overall for the last 5 years, he's been in the 90s pretty much. He had, you know, 2019 was his best year because he was good in the regular season. He was actually very good in the regular season. But then the playoffs came around and he was just a guy. Dixon, I would love to see Jimmy G pulling the trigger for Denver. And Brady, you're wrong. Flacco was in his prime, remember? Yeah, Elway had some stinkers, man. He absolutely did. Well, Dixon's coming from a Chiefs standpoint. See, here's where I am with this. You're done with the middle of the road quarterback. You're done with that. You're time to move on to the next thing. And that's either, listen, if you're going to move on to the next thing, you're going to be looking at big time guys, big names, or you just stand pat with Drew Lock. I know that does not sound sexy at all, but it's looking more and more like that, and I know everybody else would disagree with me, but what else is out there? 12:46 the time. We're going to take a short break when we come back. Let's wrap up the hour. We've got a busy second hour of interviews. We got Mike Brohard coming on, talk some Colorado State basketball with us, see if we can get Zach Stevens on to talk Broncos and how the interviews are going thus far. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Follow NoCo Preps Hoops with Preps Radio on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets Podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hall.
Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Now, Jimmy Garoppolo's name comes up because, well, we know what the Niners are going to do. They have their quarterback in waiting, and now they're looking at, you know, okay, finish the year out. I mean, I've heard anywhere the Niners could go on and do the unthinkable and win the Super Bowl. And that still wouldn't be enough because they've already made their decision. They are ready to move on. So when you pair that with the situation with the Broncos right now, the Broncos are in a weird spot. They don't know what their situation looks like at quarterback. I mean, if you just want to stare at the free agency pool, like who's out there, well, the top of the list is Big Ben. It's Ben Roethlisberger, but he's retiring. Then it's Ryan Fitzpatrick, Andy Dalton, Cam Newton, Tyrod Taylor, Jameis Winston, Jacoby Brissett, Teddy Bones, Bridgewater, Marcus Mariota, Joe Flacco, Mitchell Trubisky. I can go on if you guys want. Geno Smith, Colt McCoy, Chase Daniel. I mean, they're not going to go the free agent route. I think, can we all agree on that? That would be a terrible move for the Broncos. Now, quarterbacks that could potentially be on the move. Now, that's as far as trade and stuff. Now, that's where it gets interesting. Aaron Rodgers, obviously, because of the weird stuff that happened in the offseason last year. Russell Wilson. That one's been back and forth. Feel like last week it was no, there's no way. Then you hear at the beginning of the week that, you know, Russell would entertain some ideas, some options. Kirk Cousins, he has a history with George Payton. Matt Ryan with the Falcons. Derek Carr. I mean, the Raiders, we're going to get into that. The Raiders are moving on from their general manager, too. So the year of change continues, which is insane. The Raiders fire Mike Mayock, citing a few different things. I mean, obviously the season was weird. They found a way to make the playoffs, though. The team announced yesterday that they'd relieved Mike Mayock of his duties as general manager. So you have that. So does that mean the Raiders might be ready to just wash the whole thing and go elsewhere? And if that's the case, would you like to see Derek Carr? Tua Tagovailoa's in that mix. I mean, he is. The reason I put Jimmy Garoppolo front and center on the poll question is because of all of those guys, I feel like Garoppolo's name is the one most certain to be moving on. Because Rodgers, Packers want him. He's already on a Super Bowl caliber team. Russell Wilson, well, he has said he wants to finish his contract with the Seahawks. Kirk Cousins, I mean, that relationship, they've moved on from their head coach. That relationship, you might be in a situation where you're ready to turn the page. But you might be. That's the thing. Like, Jimmy, it's like, I'm going to go 90%. There's a 90% chance he's not back because you don't want to have that quarterback controversy going into it. You're going to be ready to move on. And when teams try to do this and they say, you know what, let's just keep both guys. That way, if the other guy doesn't work out, we'll have Trey Lance and we'll have Jimmy Garoppolo go at it in training camp. I think a lot of teams get tired of that. They should set their guy up at the beginning of the season, at the beginning of the preseason. You should know who he is. I've always said that. Surprise, surprise, you had another, you know, that was another reason why Vic Fangio failed, because it took him forever to name a starting quarterback. So does anybody on that list, I mean, obviously people on that list move you, because who wouldn't want Aaron Rodgers to be the starting quarterback for the Broncos? But again, what's the price? Could the Packers look at it and say, he's going to leave anyway, we're going to save some money? You know, the Dolphins, Steelers, Broncos, Browns, hell, the Raiders, I think, are in that mix. If you're the Packers, do you feel good enough about Jordan Love? You drafted him in the first round. Russell Wilson. I just don't see those top two guys going. And then you move from the top tier, which Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson are top tier guys. Then you move down to second tier. Kirk Cousins, Matt Ryan, Derek Carr. Do you go with the Chris Carter analogy or the Chris Carter mantra, if I could say that? If you're not getting a quarterback that can win the Super Bowl, you're wasting your time. Is Derek Carr one of those guys? Is Matt Ryan one of those guys who went to the Super Bowl? And see, the answer to me is if you can't get one of the top two guys, I feel like you stick with Drew Lock the one more year. And I know Drew Lock's name is zeroed throughout the state. Nobody's even given that real thought. But do you want to try this whole tweener thing again? And listen, if they could get Derek Carr for a decent deal, I might be signing off on that. I'm more likely to go Derek Carr than Jimmy Garoppolo. Because again, when I saw Jimmy Garoppolo at his best, San Francisco was at their 100 million best. I wouldn't be shocked if the Niners get worked this weekend. Second hour coming up, we're going to talk to Mike Brohard, a little CSU basketball. They're well, the coaches poll has them in the top 25. What do they got to do to get back in the AP top 25? Also, Zach Stevens talking Broncos with the second hour coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.